see everybody this morning and thankful the Lord's blessed us to be able to come together and worship together and fellowship together. And I just pray that you can, ask that you'll continue to pray as we come before you at this time. I'd like to direct your attention to a very familiar, probably the most familiar scriptures in the Bible, and that's the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23 is one of the most memorized chapters in the Bible, probably one of the most, if not the most often quoted. A lot of times, you know, in various and sundry situations, when a person or people can't think of other scriptures and they just feel that desire to quote a scripture, the 23rd Psalm readily and handily comes to mind. It's a it's a good passage of scripture. It's for the child of God's experience. It's kind of like a Bible within a Bible. It's been preached about, and I would dare say that. Well, we'd have to say the same thing about all the rest of God's Word. The goodness hasn't been wrung out of it yet. So it's not my intention to speak to you about the whole psalm, but just a portion of the psalm and one thought in the psalm in particular. In Psalm, in the third verse, the psalmist says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I'd like to talk to you this morning about paths. Of course, David, of course, talks here about the paths of righteousness. Think about that for just a moment. Righteousness, we generally think of and ought to in the overall understanding of what righteousness is, that when it comes to righteousness, there is only one righteousness. There's only one truth. The scripture says that God is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, of course, Pilate asked Jesus Christ, you know, what is truth? Well, whatever truth is, that's whatever truth is. It's not a person's interpretation of what it is, but it's truth. 2 + 2 = 4. Now that's the truth whether you want to believe it or not. And you know, so if 2 + 2 = 4, then everything that goes with that truth is true. And if you don't believe that, well then you go to the store and buy something of value that's worth $2. And you give the clerk a $4 bill. What do you expect in return? $1? Well, the first thing you ought to expect is if you give the clerk a $4 bill, you're going to get a crazy look. He might even press that secret button under the thing, you know, and have the management come and have a talk with you. But I think you get the point is that one reason that truth is truth and understanding that whatever the truth is important, because as you begin to put truth to the test, then it's important that it's whatever it is and that it adds up in the end, or otherwise you're gonna get shortchanged, etc., in your experience and in life. And, of course, that's certainly true of the Lord. When the Lord says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, well, that's the standard. He's saying, I'm the standard. And we could say a whole lot more about that. Well, we know that there is only one truth. But the psalmist David here says, yea, though I walk through the he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The paths, plural. indicating very strongly that there's more than one righteous path, the paths of righteousness. Righteousness is like a diamond. It's only a diamond is a diamond is a diamond. But it has various facets. It's multifaceted. You can look at a diamond and you can hold it in the light this way, and it bends a light a certain way. And all you have to do is tilt it just 1 degree and it changes the bend of the light. Now the diamond hasn't changed. The light that shines through it hasn't changed. But the result of what you see has changed. And that kind of describes experience of life that we live in. We travel down many paths in life, but they're all consolidated into the path of life. We find that the scripture is full of God's truth. We speak of the Bible as truth. In fact, the Bible tells us concerning God's way. The psalmist says in another place that says that thy way, O Lord, is truth. But how do you define truth? If you had to sit down and tell me what truth is, I mean, to really tell me what truth is, you know, not just a short quip or a short quote about truth, but to define truth, you might be talking for a while. And that's understandable because truth is multifaceted. But it's still only one truth because God is truth. Because see, ultimately, if you sat down to tell me what truth is, you're going to be telling me a whole lot about who God is. If he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, well, then you start telling me about truth, well, then you're going to start telling me who God is. Another example is right there. God, he says, you know, there's only one God. He's the Lord of lords and the God of gods. But when we try to understand God, when we read God's word to learn about him, we find that there's a lot about him. He's like a diamond, the most precious diamond, the most beautiful diamond, and the biggest diamond. But you can, or as he turns, and I'm going to say it that way because I don't know if I'd have enough, whatever it was needed to turn God. But if you look at him, you see, and you can see him from many different facets and different angles and different ways. So he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, there's one thing to note here in the way of thought that I'm trying to present to you, is that he didn't say in the paths of righteousnesses. Okay? Righteousness here is not plural. In the paths of righteousness. As we travel through life, you know, think about paths. That there are all kinds of paths. You know, an interstate is a path. An interstate's a path. Highway 173, I hear. I guess it's still 173. It's a path. Main Street over here in Headland is a path. So it's a path is something that leads somewhere. I enjoy reading, of course, reading God's word and reading all about God's word, but I like to do recreational reading from time to time. In fact, I just love to read. I wish somebody would pay me to do what I love to do. But I generally close my day, and I hope that this is okay with you, preacher standing up here in the pulpit telling you how he closes his day. I try to read my my Bible throughout the day, if, you know, at least start the day reading my Bible and refer to it from time to time. But I like to close my day reading Western fiction, mostly by a man named Louis L'Amour. And, you know, you can learn a lot from most any source that you read from. And I enjoy reading L'Amour's Western fiction novels. They're entertaining. But, you know, I've learned several things in reading those novels. And one of the things that I have learned from him is that, you know, a lot of times if you go out into the forest, into the woods, into the desert, onto the plains, and you begin to look around, you'll find that there are a lot of obvious paths. You know, I can walk down into the woods behind my house and begin to look around, and I'd say, oh, you know, that's probably a trail left by deer. You know, or here's another path left by another critter. And in Mr. L'Amour's books, you know, he describes that a lot, because he's talking about the time when this country was settled and the frontiersmen and how that when people came over here, they had to learn to survive in a land of wilderness. They had to learn to get from point A to point B, and they didn't have Siri to help them. You know, they had to learn how to read trails. They had to learn how to follow paths to go to and fro. And so they did. Well, a lot of paths are pretty obvious, but a lot of them are not. But they're there. And to the trained eye that can learn them and learn to read them, you know, it's amazing to watch them in action, you know, to follow those trails and so forth. And to read about men that can follow those trails. You know, the Indians, or as we call them, the Native Americans, you know, they survived for many generations or centuries of time in this country, as well as in other countries, and they traveled great distances, left home and returned home, because they knew how to read the signs of the trails and the paths. And a lot of times, of course, the paths that they followed, they marked those paths so that they could remember them when they left, and then they'd know how to come back. Because there's one thing that I remember as a boy. I learned it just out playing in the woods, but it just kind of thrilled me a little bit whenever I read in Mr. L'Amour's novels that, you know, you can go from point A to point B on a trail, and you look at that path. And he kept talking about that every once in a while that those frontiersmen that he's talking about, they'd turn around and they'd look back the direction they'd come from. And they'd go a little bit farther, and then they'd turn around and look back at the direction they'd come from. You know why they were doing that? You know, a trail or a path never looks the same from different angles. You know, it may look just, you know, you traveling north to south, and you say, I know, you know, no problem, I won't have any problem. Oh, there's that big oak tree, or there's so-and-so. But then when you turn around and start going back the other way, is that the oak tree that I marked out, or is that, everything just looks different. Well, as we think about the paths of life that we're to travel, the paths within the path, the ways within the way, you know, we need to consider all these things and a lot of times learn from observing how things are done in nature or in life or in the world around us that we can apply to life. The psalmist here says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now, one thing about a leader, of course, is that needs to be an individual that you can depend upon, that you have confidence in, that they know how to get to where you're going. They know how to read the sign. They know how to follow the trail. Because that's important. If you're going to follow somebody, you got to have that a confidence in them. We've had Sister Lane and I in the last few weeks and some of our travels, we've had occasion to follow, people from church to their homes and so forth. There's two things that I say about that to the people that we're following. Number one, I trust that you know the way. And number two, I trust that you'll remember that I'm following you. Because if you know the way, that's fine. That's one thing. But if you forget that I'm following you, well, then I'm in trouble. Because you might get to where you're going, but if you get out of my sight, well, asphalt highways or concrete highways, you don't leave a whole lot of sign to follow. So keep me in sight so that I can follow you. The psalmist says that, the Lord, as a shepherd, led him in the paths of righteousness. And again, he said, he leadeth me. David says, he's always been leading me. He's leading me now. And I trust that he always will be leading me.
Right.
He leadeth me. This is a leader in the paths of righteousness that we know that we need to be following all the time. Because one thing about trying to live righteously is that it's an everyday occurrence. You don't take a vacation from living righteously. Well, maybe sometimes we do, but we shouldn't ever take a vacation from living righteously. Because that's what we're commanded to do. Is to live right, to follow the paths of righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord's going to lead us in those paths, and he's not going to lead us astray. And sometimes he takes us by the hand and leads us in those paths. Was reading, if you'll forgive me for keep referring to Mr. Lamore, and there was circumstances that happened, and this young boy, he was 9 years old, and he had a 3-year-old sister, and they got, tragedy happened, and they're out in the wilderness in the middle of this country, they're alone. They're totally by themselves. But he described the boy as being, he'd learned from his father enough that, they survived in the story, of course, and at the end of the story, everything turned out okay. But my point is that he knew enough to follow trails and to follow paths, animal paths or Indian paths, whatever he had to do. And most of the time, or a good portion of the time, in leading his sister, he led her by the hand. He was following the path. Guess who she was following? She was following him. Now, many times, first of all, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord knows these paths. Whenever a path is made, somebody puts the first footsteps on it. Now, out in the real world, out in forests and so forth, it may take a while to establish the best path to go from point A to point B. But once that path is established, well, then, you know, everything's good. You know, everybody can follow it. Well, somebody has to establish that path. Most of the time, as I just said, in real life experience, as far as geography is concerned, several people will ultimately establish the path, the best route to follow. Of course, when it comes to roads, you know, those somebodies are called engineers and architects and so forth. Well, in our lives, it's God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, who loves us enough that he didn't just create this world and put us in it and say, now make your own paths. He didn't have to say that. We kind of do that without him having to tell us, don't we? But he makes paths of righteousness, and he leads us in those paths. And here David is saying, lead me in that path. That's the way I want to go. It's in that path. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And we need to pray, Lord, lead me in those paths. Direct my steps. Well, if the Lord's directing your steps, what's he doing? He's saying, here's the path that I want you to follow. This is the way that I want you to go. This is how to get to the destination that I want you to achieve. And you know, I'm personally, in my own experience, I'm thankful that the psalmist says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I met Sister Lane out in New Mexico, of course, you know the story, and we got married, and I brought her back to Alabama, and we'd get out and start going to church. Say, for, I'll use that for an example, and we'd get up on Sunday morning, and we might go to Little Vine, and we'd go this way. Well, we'd start home, we'd come home this way. Well, the next time we went to Little Vine, we went that way. When we start home, we'd go this way. Well, there's many ways, as you know, to go from 5858 Cannon Road 12 to Little Vine over on Honeysuckle Road. And I'm just using them for an example. Well, when I was at that age and so forth, that's kind of the way I love to travel. You know, it was, in fact, Elder John Miles Blackshear and I had kind of a running joke. You know, it was just bad luck to go back home the same way you came here. You know, you just had to go a different way. Well, there's a lot of paths to go from point A from point A's to point B's, etc. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. However many paths of righteousness there are, David said there's only one destination. That's his name's sake. As we travel through life, and our life takes many twists and turns, we travel many highways. There's only one destination. Those paths, the ways of life, the ways of righteousness, the ways of experience and so forth, that God leads us through, he only has one destination in mind. I am the way. See, he says, I am the way. You know, we travel a lot of different ways as we go through life, but our destination is the way. Our destination is the truth. And our destination is the life. May the Lord add his blessings. It's my prayer. Thank you.